Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to be able to meet tonight, to go through your word, Father. Father, I ask that you would prepare our hearts, Lord, our minds, that you would mold us, shape us, Lord, that your word would convict us, Lord, that it would change our hearts, Lord, that we might be more like your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray for all those who are at camp, Lord, that they've had a good time of fellowship, of activities, Lord, but more importantly, that they've learned your word, Father, that the campers have been in their Bibles, Lord. We pray that they would come home with a zeal for you, Lord, and that it would not die out, Lord, that they would continue in you, Father. And we pray for all those who are not here tonight, Lord, that you would watch over them, that you would be with them too, Father. I pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay, why don't we start at verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. But he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from us, from him, abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Okay, so verse 28, John is continuing on here. He's been on the Antichrist. He's been telling us that, you know, abide from him who is from the beginning. And that, you know, that no lie, that you don't need anyone to teach you any new doctrine, any new, you know, enlightenment that they have received, you know. Now he's going to say, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. John's saying here, now, at this present time to his writers, now, little children, and this is the, remember there's two different Greek words for the little children. This is the technion, and it refers to darlings. It's more of a term of endearment. Okay, so to all of his you know, sons and daughters in the faith. Okay, so now, little children, abide in him. At a time of false teachers and antichrists that are out there trying to deceive people, he's telling his ones he loves, Allie, pay attention, the ones dear to him, darlings, my little children, abide in him. Continue in him. And what does abide mean? What? Live in, yes. To stay in a given place or state. He's saying to remain in Christ, to remain in His teachings, to remain in that which He has commanded you. Abide in Him. Continue in Him. So that when He appears, and appears, is it means rendered apparent, manifestly declare or make manifest or show self. Okay, so when He appears, when Christ appears, okay, we, He says, here He's including Himself, may have confidence. So when Christ appears, we may have confidence. What do you think He's saying here? He's saying, little children, now, little children, at this time, abide in Him so that when He appears, you may have confidence. What do you think John is saying here? Any thoughts? When He appears, when Christ at His second coming appears to redeem His church, to judge the world, if you abide in Him, we may have confidence. What do you guys think?
We won't be ashamed of what we've done.
Why?
Because if we abide in Him, then we'll only be doing what He wants us to do.
Exactly. Okay.
If you're confident, that means you're not fearful, but you are steadfast, you're sure, you're on a solid foundation. When the Lord appears, if you abide in Him, if you stay in Christ, then you can be sure and not fearful that when He comes, He's coming for you. Instead of wondering, the Lord's here, am I going?
Right. Exactly. And He is our foundation. The word confidence means outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, boldness in this text. But it's a boldness. Okay? So confident. You're sure. The foundation is solid. And if Christ is your foundation at His coming, it is going to be a day where we can rejoice. Not have to shrivel back or be ashamed, which we'll get into. But with all boldness, knowing that we've been abiding, we've remained in Christ. What a glorious day that will be. Matthew Henry writes on that. He, Christ, proceeded from a womb, and was introduced into a stable. But when He shall come again, He will come from the opened heavens, and every eye shall see Him. And then those who have continued with Him throughout all their temptations shall have confidence, assurance, and joy in the sight of Him. They shall lift up their heads with unspeakable triumph, as knowing that their complete redemption comes along with Him. And so true that is, that when that day comes, when He's coming, that's the day that we will triumph. For He is our triumph. You know? There will be no need to be ashamed before His coming. Because if we have continued in Christ, you know, if we've remained through all the persecutions, you know, that we've not turned away, if we haven't let ourselves be deceived by the false teachers, by the Antichrist. You know, we've continued to grow, mature, you know, in His grace and knowledge throughout our lives. That we've been steadfast, strong. It will be a glorious day. We don't have to hang our heads. We will be triumphant. But, you know, there is a but here. For those who have not remained in Christ, for those who have only, you know, played church, for those who have not been in their words and have let themselves been deceived by these false teachers, you know, who they've they've been caught up on the guy who says he has, you know, a new enlightenment, you know, the trickery of men, or every wind, what am I looking for? I lost my train of thought. Every wind of doctrine that comes blowing by, you know, these people who have not remained in Christ, they've let themselves get caught up in all these new doctrines and enlightenments. So those who have not remained in Christ or have continuously rejected Him will be hanging their heads, will be ashamed. They will lack confidence at His coming and will be probably ashamed and frightened, because what does the Bible say? That when He comes, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And if their foundation hasn't been of Christ, they're probably going to have a very scary day, knowing that Christ hasn't been their foundation, that they have not been in Christ. They have not had that relationship with Him. They've been doing their own thing, or they've been following, you know, whatever other trickery of man that's been out there. So ask yourselves, on that day when He appears, can you have all boldness? Are you going to be confident? Or are you going to be, you know, kind of shriveling back, you know, oh man, is it this day already? God, what, you know, why couldn't you have sent your son, you know, the day after I came back from church camp? That's when I'm all fired up. No, that is why we are to be obedient, faithful, and remain in Christ every day of our lives. So that when He does appear, we are confident. We will have boldness. And not the type of boldness that's, oh, see, look what I did, you know. See, you sucker, you should have followed me. You know, not that type of boldness. Boldness knowing that Christ is my all. He is my foundation. Verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. He kind of starts, he says here in verse 29, if you know that He is righteous. Okay? He's not asking a question of uncertainty here. Okay? Because earlier, you know, He tells them that I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know the truth. So it's more of, because you know He is righteous. He's not asking, well, if you know He's righteous, it's like He's saying, if you know then He is righteous. 1 John 2:1 tells us, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. Psalms 116:5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. You get the point. He is righteous. There's no doubt. And John is saying here, if you know then that He is righteous, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. The word practices is to make or do, to continue without any delay, to fulfill or to perform. Okay, so those who are performing righteousness, they're in righteousness. Okay, what does it say here? That they're born of Him. Or other translation says they're begotten of Him. The one who is practicing righteousness. Well, first of all, why should we practice righteousness? Who are we to be imitators of? Christ. Well, is he righteous? Or do we have to ask, is Christ righteous? No. We know that he is righteous. There was many more verses, you know, but you got the point after three, hopefully. He is righteous. And he is the one that we're supposed to be imitating. He is the one that we're trying to be like. If he is righteous, we should be practicing righteousness. And the one who is practicing righteousness is born or begotten of him, is his child, is of Christ, is of God. MacArthur writes, "The hope of Christ's return not only sustains faith, but makes righteousness a habit." And see, that's key there. Because the one who is truly saved, the one who is truly of Christ, righteousness becomes a habit. It becomes a part of their life when Christ has changed us, called us out. The day that our salvation is made evident, it becomes part of our lifestyle to practice righteousness. Because he is righteous. He continues then. The term for born is the same verb used in John 3:7, where Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again. Those truly born again as God's children have their Heavenly Father's righteous nature. We have that nature in us now to be righteous, to be performing righteously, righteous acts to our brothers and sisters. You see, if we're a child of God, that nature becomes ours. That righteous nature that He is. So those truly born again as God's children have their Heavenly Father's righteous nature. As a result, then, they will display characteristics of God's righteousness. John looks from effect, which is righteous behavior, to cause, which is being truly born again, to affirm that righteous living is the proof of being born again and being born of God. Well, what is righteous living? Who can tell me what they think righteous living is? What do you think righteous living is? Give me some examples. James, what would be righteous living?
The way Christ did, I guess.
To what?
Living the way Christ did, I guess.
Living the way Christ did? Yes. You don't guess. That's right. Yes. Living the way Christ did. Okay, so I'm going to take you a little deeper here. I'm going to pick on you a little bit. How did Christ live?
Righteously.
That's cheating.
Okay. Like, I don't know.
Sure you do. How did Christ live righteously?
In righteous stuff.
Okay.
Like what?
Like what?
Like selfless stuff.
Selfless stuff, okay, like what?
Giving to others and preaching to others and telling about God and stuff.
Okay, selfless, that's a good word that you used there. He lived a selfless life. He came to, did he come to be served?
No.
What did he come to do?
Came to
serve.
Yeah.
Okay, so, as Paul tells us in Philippians, that our attitude should be that same of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, okay, humbled himself. Okay? So we too should come to serve, right? We should serve. We should live lives that are humble, that are of humility, that are dying to ourselves, considering others before ourselves. What is righteous living? What are some other examples of righteous living? Jess?
Some things that would go along with it would be like obeying God's guidance, commandments, of course, and we would pray without ceasing, and fellowship with other believers, and just continually set your mind on things above, just seeking to please God and honor Him, and glorify Him and praise Him all day long, every day.
As long as we have another day that we've been blessed with, righteous living should be a part of our nature. Loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Serving one another. Loving one another. Living a selfless life as Christ did. All those things is righteous living.
How about contending for the faith and defending the truth, even at great personal cost?
Absolutely.
Even at the cost of humiliation, friends, jobs.
Exactly. You know, that is righteous living. Just as Christ did, just as some of the apostles were crucified, were killed for Christ. Jesus says many times, "Blessed is the one who is persecuted for my name's sake. Blessed is the one who is killed for my name's sake." That would be righteous living. Psalms 118, verse 20 says, "This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter." See, those who are living righteous lives, those who it's evident that they're born again because of their righteous lives, can be confident on the day of His coming. There will be no need to be to hang our heads or to run and hide or to be ashamed. Because we can say that to God be the glory, we'll be patting our own backs, to God be the glory, He has kept us. We've remained in Him. James, you've abided in Christ. You've been living a life that's righteous. And that will be a glorious day to those who are abiding in Christ, who are living righteous lives, who are practicing righteousness, who are living lives that are selfless, who are not ashamed. They don't care if they lose all their friends at school. They don't care if they get made fun of. They don't care if they're the laughingstock. Oh, that weird Christian freak. That's living a righteous life. And you know what? That's what we're called to do. To practice righteousness. And we do that by being imitators of Him, by being in our Word, continuously praying throughout the day. Do you guys understand that? Any questions? Anything else you guys want to add?
Well, it's nothing that we haven't heard many times before, but just to make very clear, I mean, we frequently stress, and rightfully so, how important our works are and our righteous deeds and living righteously. And you know, the scripture that says the righteous will enter, but it's, of course, not our righteousness that allows us to enter the gate and to enter the kingdom. It's Christ's righteousness. And so, well, these things are very important. They are certainly not the things that earn us passage into the kingdom of God, but rather the evidence that Christ has indeed purchased passage on our behalf. Because if He has done that, then we will be changed and we will be striving to live righteously so that we'll be pleasing to Him. And because it's right. And because we'll want to do what's right.
Exactly. And that's the point, that is the evidence of someone who is saved. You know, we've said many times that you can't earn salvation. You can't do works to earn salvation. Works, to the one who's saved, the works come. They follow as evidence that the one is truly saved. They start bearing the fruit of good works, of righteous living. You know, that is Christ in us working. Caitlin?
Ask the question, if something that could be parts of living righteously, I thought of living wisely.
Living wisely. That's very good. How do we live wisely?
By doing what's right.
Doing what's right. By thinking about it, by praying about it, making wise decisions. Mm-hmm. Right? Very good. You know, because can I say that I'm a Christian and say that, Christ is righteous, God is righteous, and then go out and live unrighteous life? Well, that's going to be proof that my salvation is not real. That it's just all talk. Because if it is real, I will remain. The good works will follow. I will be doing everything I can to please my Father and be obedient to Him, to live a righteous life as He did.
I think the one thing that pops into my head at that point then is if we do try to live that other alternative life, if we're not grieved by it, well, that should throw up a flag right there, because when we do not live righteously, when we don't live as the Lord calls us, it should grieve us. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and it's grieved when we don't please God.
Exactly. Jess?
Well, I was just going to say, it goes back to what Brian was saying a few minutes ago, about how we don't earn our salvation, and that's not what makes us righteous by what we do, but it's because of Christ. And I think that verse 29 really does say that. It says, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of Him. So it's saying that if you are righteous, you're born of God. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you can be righteous.
Exactly. You know, that's the evidence will be there. That will be the proof. And again, you know, so many times we let ourselves be entertained by unrighteous stuff in this world. You know, whether it's music or movies or friends. You know, when we're called clearly to live righteous lives. So why do we let ourselves be entertained by unrighteous stuff, you know? I just think it's a shame. And as Christians, as a child of God, we need to be above that. Because we're not of this world. We need to be like our Father. You know, we need to be like the child who's longing to please his Father. You know, the child who wants to be just like his Father. You know, being imitators of our Father. Besides, we're called to be holy as He is holy. Now, that's a very high calling. To be holy as He is holy. I mean, we can't even fathom how holy He is. Much less be that holy. You know, a lot of people will give the excuse, well, I can't do that, so why try? No, we're told to be that holy. Christ in us is that holy. Anything else? Let's pray. Father, again, we love you. We thank you so much for your word, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, that we in here would live lives that are righteous, that we would have righteous living. Not that we're trying to earn anything or say, look at me, but because we are born of you. We're children of God. You have called us out. You have saved us. Lord, may we never be entertained by unrighteous living, whether it's in movies or friends or in games or music. For Lord, help us to have righteous lives because You are in us. Because You are working in us. Because we are wanting to be obedient to You. Father, we pray, Lord, that on that day of Your second coming, Lord, that we would have nothing to be ashamed about, because we have remained in You, not to our glory, but to Yours, that You have kept us, that it's been our heart's desire to continue in You, to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that on that day, there will be nothing to be ashamed about. There will be nothing to hang our heads about. But with all boldness, we will be confident knowing that You, in You we are triumph. In You we have victory. You have been our solid, firm ground. And on You we have stood. Lord, I pray for all of us here tonight and for those not here, Lord, that we would be our deepest conviction, that we would remain, that we would abide in You. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.